Welcome, everyone, to the Happy Hustle Podcast. I'm your host, Kerry Jack, lifestyle entrepreneur, professional model slash actor, biohacker, and eco-warrior striving to make a positive impact on this planet. My goal is to inspire, educate, and entertain you while reminding you to enjoy the journey, not just the destination, as you happy hustle for a life of passion and purpose. I am so grateful and humbled to be spending some time together today. Now, let's dive in. What is up, you beautiful happy hustlers out there? Kerry Jack here, and I hope you're having a freaking phenomenal day. Truly just enjoying this very moment right here and right now. And in this very special episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast, we are actually releasing a guest guru training from our private mastermind community, the Happy Hustle Club. And this is our $25,000 a year program that entrepreneurs subscribe to and get access to these amazing entrepreneurs and guest gurus. And I want to bring them to you as well. So today we are featuring Mr. Brian Johnson, who is the founder and CEO of Heroic Public Benefit Corporation. My son is he's in the studio today, and the author of Arete, Activate Your Heroic Potential. He's 50% philosopher and 50% CEO and 101% committed to helping the world create a better place, which in 51% of humanity is flourishing by 2051. And he's raised over $25 million, made crowdfunding history, and built and sold two social platforms. And now he helps millions of people around the world with his 10,000 plus heroic coaches from 100 plus countries. He lives in Austin with his wife, Alexandra, and the two kids, Emerson and Eleanor. And in this guest guru training, we get deep into Arete, how to activate your heroic potential, which is a mixture of modern wisdom and ancient philosophy. And it is very much one of my favorite books of all time. If you haven't read that book, definitely check it out. So you're going to get a lot of value from this one. It's more conversational, but I think if you are into self-development and personal growth, which you obviously wouldn't be listening to this if you weren't, then you're going to dig it. So my one ask, if you get some value, please share this with somebody who also could get value. That's how we spread this message with more people and stay in the top 0.5% globally ranked podcasts out there. Based on downloads with over 5.5 million streams, it's because you share it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, after a quick episode sponsor break, we're going to be diving into this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast. All right, fam, I'm super pumped about this Black Friday special offer from Magnesium Breakthrough. For the entire month of November, our code will unlock over $100 worth of free gifts. Plus, the page will display a special bundle that has up to 25% off using our promo code, code HAPPY. And to put a cherry on top, if you're into bioptimizers and optimizing your health, which you should be, then from November 20th through 28th, in addition to the deals I already mentioned, the entire site is going to be discounted 25% off any order. So that means if you want to optimize your health, specifically get this amazing supplement, Magnesium Breakthrough, which is basically going to help your entire system improve its functionality. Not to mention, 3 out of every 4 people are said to be deficient in magnesium, so most likely you're not getting enough of it. You got to check out bioptimizers.com/happy. That's bioptimizers.com/happy. Get the hookup, save. Now is the time to take advantage of their Black Friday deal. Thank you, Bioptimizers. Freaking love you guys. They also have a 365-day money-back guarantee. So you got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Check them out, bioptimizers.com/happy. Now let's get back to this episode. All right. Look at these studs. Oh, man. I'm so pumped. Oh, all right. Let me do some hellos to everybody. We're still letting some people in, so we'll get that started here. Let me let in Hazen, Steph. Brian, good to see you, man.
Kerry, good to see you, bro.
Oh, we got two Brians. So
yeah, two Brians. I thought you were saying hi to me, but what's up, Brian?
Sorry, I said hi to both Brians.
Let's go.
I see Mike. What's up, Mike? Derek Wilson. Yeah, baby. I love that. That eagle on the background. Oh, that's epic. Alex, what's up, bro? Good to see you too, man.
Yeah.
Brant's got the yin yang. Look at Wilson in that mohawk. Best hair on here for sure. Look at that stud. Ryan Blazer, you're a stallion of a human as well. Justin Curry, still having the best beard on the internet. AJ Yeager's on. Heck yeah. What's up, AJ?
Hey, buddy.
Hazen Audell, good to see you, bro. And then we got a couple more people popping in. Apologies for anyone who's watching the recording because Brian Johnson, our honorary guest guru today, he had a very important task that superseded the Happy Hustle Club last Thursday. He was on a battleship for speaking to our soldiers. Just go ahead. Actually, I want to tease it, and then you can explain where you were because it's pretty cool. But let me do a proper intro on you and kind of dive in. Before I do, as always, we're going to just center and get the collective group with 6 deep breaths, okay? So 6 deep breaths changes your state. In through the nose, out through the mouth. One more. Actually, a couple more. 3 more. Let's go. And last one, in all the gratitude and exhaling all the negativity. All right, guys, I'm going to introduce our guest guru trainee today. And I got to say, I am so stoked about this one. I have his book in front of me. If you haven't read it, it's by far one of my favorite books of all time. And I'm not just blowing smoke, Brian. But Brian Johnson is the founder and CEO of Heroic Public Benefit Corporation and the author of Arete, Activate Your Heroic Potential. He's 50% philosopher, 50% CEO, and 101% committed to helping create a world in which 51% of humanity is flourishing by the year 2051. I love that goal. As a founder and CEO, he's raised over $25 million plus. He's made crowdfunding history, and he's built and sold 2 social platforms. As a philosopher and teacher, he's helped millions of people from around the world and trained over 10,000 heroic coaches from over 100 countries. And he's created a protocol that research shows changes lives, my friends. He lives in the countryside outside of Austin, Texas, with his wife, Alexandra, and their 2 kids, Emerson and Eleanor. And I got to just give him a little shout out because I don't fanboy too hard on anybody. But I got to say, the Happy Hustle Club guys know this. Brian, I have been fanboying because every time I'm like, hey, you guys got to read this passage in Arete. And, you know, he rocked the mic on the Happy Hustle podcast. It was such a powerful episode. I asked him if he would come and graciously speak to the Happy Hustle Club. So here you are, Brian Johnson. Let's give him a little round of applause.
Yeah.
And welcome, man.
Gary, I appreciate you, man. It was so great to connect when you were out in Austin and then so enjoyed our chat. And, I'm starting to think like I need to grow my beard back. I'm looking at this strong beard game here on the crew and feeling a little bit left out without my beard. But just thrilled to be here, man. I really appreciate your energy and your humility and how you know positive you are about my work, man. So thank you, bless you, and fired up to have a great chat.
Yeah, man. Well, okay. So I teased it to the guys, but where were you last Thursday? Tell us the story and why we didn't do this last Thursday.
Yeah, no, I got a really, really special invitation to fly out and to serve the sailors on the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower, which is the carrier that's been, you know, 24/7 for the last 4+ months battling the Houthis out there in the Red Sea. We've been blessed to do some work with the military in different contexts, and you know, we were talking about some other projects. She said, gosh, I wish you can come out with me, you know, to spend some time out there. And, you know, I'm like, hey, if you want me there, I'll be there. And this was like Thursday, Tuesday. I'm flying out to Bahrain and spent a few days out giving workshops for everyone from the captain and his command team down. And just, you know, really humbling, inspiring opportunity to connect to the men and women that that it's easy to take our freedoms for granted, and I don't know, so it was a special time to be there. And that was where I was on Thursday. So actually Thursday I was recovering from jet lag. Friday morning, dude, I hopped on one of those tiny little planes they use to land on aircraft carriers, left at 2:15 in the morning. It was awesome. So I guess that's when it would have been 8 hours ahead. So when I should have been here with you, I was, getting up to get on one of those planes.
Is
Anyway, that was the context, and I
yeah,
appreciate your.
of course, man. And for everyone, just kind of to understand, Brian speaks to the special operators of our military, speaks to the U.S. men's national soccer team, he speaks to high performers of every capacity, and he's speaking to us today specifically in more of a Q&A format. So I do want you guys to come with one question that you want to ask Brian. Put it in the chat if you have one loaded, or if one comes to you as we go about it, because it's not every day you get to ask someone like Brian a question. And I'm gonna start with like a little bit of context for maybe some people who don't fully know your work, and we can tee it up. Starting with Arete, I mean, the book itself, such a powerful concept. It's all about activating your heroic potential. You have an app called Heroic, which is one of the stickiest apps I've seen. And I do, we're all entrepreneurs on here, and I do want to talk about how to operationalize the wisdom for entrepreneurs specifically. But talk about Arete first and foremost. What does it mean?
So Arete is an ancient Greek word. If you ask the ancient Roman Stoics, I have Epictetus and Aurelius on my wall, my two favorite heroes, favorite teacher, favorite leader. If you ask those guys how to live a good life, they'd answer you in a single word, and that word is Arete. So we translate it as virtue or excellence, but it means something closer to being your best self moment to moment to moment. And as you know, I like to say, look, if you're capable of being this and you're actually being this, and there's a gap between who you could have been and who you actually were, it's in that gap, moment to moment to moment, in which regret, anxiety, disillusionment exists, depression, et cetera. When you close the gap, you're living with Arete, and there's no room for the negative stuff. You feel this deep sense of joy, meaning, purpose. The ancients called that eudaimonia, which we translate as happiness, but it means something closer to flourishing, being your best self. So again, Arete, I got it tattooed on my arm. It's the one word summation of everything that I've studied over the last 25 years, and why I named the book Arete. And everything we do comes down to that. Can we get you to close the gap? Do the thing you already know you need to be doing. That's the ultimate game, and what I've dedicated my life to figuring out how to share,
Yeah, man, that concept alone was so powerful for me, and I told you, I kind of in my brain just smashed the term together as virtuous excellence, like living with virtuous excellence. I just kept the phrase Arete top of mind ever since I've come in contact with your work, and it really has helped me just kind of quantify, how to close the gap, living with Arete every day. One of the things that I love about what you say specifically in the book, you talk about don't give up your gains. Make your prior best your new baseline. Unpack that for us.
So when I gave the talk to the U.S. men's national team, they happened to be in Austin. A friend of a friend connected us. We hit it off, Greg Berhalter, their head coach, and I. So he's like, hey, can you come out and talk to the team, before they play their game 2 days later, 2 nights later? I'm like, yeah, let's go. And then after my talk, and I want to talk about anti-fragile confidence, as we've discussed, like that's the thing the special forces guys want me to talk about, the executives, the entrepreneurs. But in my talk, I talked about the fact that you need to make your prior best your new baseline. He came up to me and said that was the line. So in my work, I like to challenge individuals to think about when you were at your best, what were you doing? What were you not doing? And then my question is, why did you stop doing the things you were doing when you were at your best? Quit giving up those gains. Make your prior best your new baseline. If you were heroically energized, productive, and connected, in your energy, your work, and your love, know what you were doing, systematically create a protocol or a set of behaviors, a checklist, and do those things day in and day out, especially when you don't feel like it. When you do that, you forge the anti-fragile confidence. You come as close to being invincible as I know how to come, you know?
Yeah, man. I love that phrase, anti-fragile confidence. You guys feeling that? Can I get a little fist bump if you're feeling the anti-fragile confidence? I mean, especially in this day and age, it's like, I feel like specifically the next generation is so soft, you know, no offense, but truly it's, you know, it's something we all need to forge, like anti-fragile confidence. I mean, you talk about it. If you were going to give like a tactical piece to forging anti-fragile confidence, maybe something, you know, there's a lot of parents on here, maybe a tactical thing I know you do with your kids. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Dude, 100%. So again, anti-fragility is the opposite of fragility. Nassim Taleb coined the word. And then confidence means intense trust. So if you want anti-fragile confidence, you've got to build intense trust in your ability to deal with whatever life throws at you. I'm reading a book right now talking about kids called The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt, who's brilliant, you know, social psychologist. He wrote The Coddling of American Mind or whatever it was called. And he talks about the exact same thing, that this generation is fragile. I mean, he literally uses the word anti-fragile. Very few people use that word. He uses it to describe how kids should be raised. And he says, look, you bubble wrap them in the real world. All the parks, he has pictures of a park in the 21st century versus when you and I grew up. It's like, dude, you know, you're just going out doing whatever you can do, jungle gym style. Now you got like these protected slides. Nobody can get hurt. So you got the kids bubble wrapped in the real world and then completely left on their own in the virtual world. And everything from sexual predators, they're online. But yeah, Parents aren't even thinking about it. The pornography 10-year-olds are seeing is horrific.
Yeah.
And so, you know, exposing your kids to more challenges in the real world while insulating them from the online world is really important. You know, and he's got four different principles that my wife and I follow. Our kids are 11 and 7, very little screen time. You know, they listen to audiobooks. My son's into chess, so he's on, you know, chess.com. But otherwise, very little screen time, you know, and he's saying no smartphones until high school, no social media until 16. These developing brains did not evolve to handle what's coming at them online. Yeah. And then let them be kids. Let them go out and face challenges and explore life. But, you know, my number one tip for parents is you got to be the individual you hope your kids aspire to be, you know, and that's the biggest challenge I have as a husband and father and human being. You got to conquer your own fears and laziness and have the wisdom and the discipline to show up and be your best self. Then there's a ton of other things we can talk about, but that theme is particularly salient for me because I got my newest tattoo since I had it when we chatted, but anti-fragile confidence, you know, there's a few things I think that are more powerful for us to cultivate within ourselves and in our families, communities, et cetera.
Yeah, man. And especially as an entrepreneur, guys, all, you know, everyone on here has their own business and is out there, you know, battling the throes of entrepreneurship every single day. And anti-fragile confidence is something, you know, we have to cultivate. Getting rejected is the name of the game, right? And, you know, you have to be able to take your licks and keep on kicking. So I think it applies in every facet, right? Speaking of which, I'm repping. Check that out.
Dude, Heroic. Let's go. This is the first time I've worn the white version of it.
I know, man. I like that white one.
Let's go. All right.
All right. So, okay. So you guys out there, if you have a question, put it in the chat and then, or raise your hand if you just want to ask it. Mike Kinner, I saw you had a question first, but I want to open this up. Mike Zeller, what's up, brother? Good to see you. I wanted to open it up so we can get this interactive. Brian, you know, wanted to keep it so he could just add as much value to you guys and, you know, a Q&A format for those who are live, those watching the replay. You're just going to have to listen to everyone else's questions, which will be great regardless. But Mike Kinner, why don't you start us off? Give a little quick, like where you're at, you know, your business, and then, you know, ask Brian a question. Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And Brian, it's an honor to meet you, man. I heard you first at the Front Row Dads retreat, and I just fell in love with your philosophy and your message. I joined a Heroic Class 20, and we are
No
crushing it
way.
with Pro 35. And I'm
Oh,
just
right on, dude.
so honored to learn from you. It's crazy to have you like whispering in my ear every day. And I'm telling you guys, it's your the next time they open enrollment for a Heroic Coach, it is next level. It's like literally getting a PhD of self-mastery and also how to really honor yourself and the world. And so just honored to talk to
Thank
you
you.
face to
Dude,
face, man.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
I appreciate you, man. And so first question, I don't want to take all the space, but I am so inspired by how you read books and obviously how you distill so much information. And I guess first question is, when it comes to your process of reading books, I would love to just be over your shoulder to see how you decipher and distill so much information. I know it's obviously decades of study, but your process of distilling information is so inspiring.
Right on, dude. Really excited to chat about it. So the first most challenging thing is to have the mental space to read. You know, and I remember interviewing Tony Schwartz forever ago, who wrote The Powerful Engagement, a leading peak performance guy. And he said he got to a point where he couldn't even sit down and read a page. His brain was so hopped up with constant stimulation, digital, that he had a really hard time focusing. So for me, it's maintaining that strength of focus in mind and then prioritizing it. Now, you know, it's part of my job. So I do one of those philosopher's notes where I distill the best ideas from these books every single week. So I've got a certain pacing function for me. But again, carving out the time is the most important. And then I've done it 650 times. I've created there 670 or 80 times. But if you look at, no, actually, I'll bust out. I mean, this is literally the stack of books I just picked. I took off my desk, you know, and put it on the ground just 10 minutes ago. But I'm reading The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt, which I mentioned, which I highly recommend. If you're a parent, get the audiobook of this, listen to it. It's compelling. He's a very conservative social scientist. He's featured in the Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma, which I also highly recommend. Social technology is not inert. There's some serious challenges that come with overusage, etc. Anyway, when I'm reading a book, I read it archaeologically, is the way Twyla Tharp describes it. I'm like in it. Now, I don't listen to books. Like, I enjoy listening to books. I'm listening to Elon Musk's biography right now, you know, on long drives with my son, but that's not how I read. I need to have a physical book. And I also don't like Kindle. I do enough online. I want to be offline. I want to have a physical book. And then I market the bliss up. I'm underlining, asterisking obvious, you know, things, but I'm hunting for ideas that I will personally share with you in the context of Philosopher's Notes. And I've got a certain system that I use to know which idea I'm going to come back to. And then again, I'm training my mind all day, you know. So I meditate in the morning. Haven't been meditating consistently in the evening. I'm getting good nights of sleep. I'm doing the basic physiological things: eating, moving, sleeping, breathing, training my mind so I can quickly absorb a book. I don't speed read. When I read, I imagine that I'm having a conversation with a great thinker that has spent, you know, 5, 10, 25 years of their lives distilling wisdom into 250 pages. I approach it like I'm having breakfast with them or a lunch with them or a great conversation. So I don't rush. I read efficiently and effectively and quickly, but I don't speed through it. I want to understand how they're thinking. And again, I'm hunting for ideas. So, you know, you can't really see it, but I've got all these different types of folds, you know, and I know I'm going to come back and create those philosopher's notes on it. And that's how I've kind of achieved a certain level of mastery, if you will, in my domain, is I'm constantly immersed in the wisdom. I'm pulling it out. I'm connecting it to other ideas and kind of keeping it alive. That I said a lot, but does that approximate what you were hoping to hear?
I love it, man. That is so perfect. I love it how you really take a deep perspective, but also you're just imagining they're talking directly to your soul. So that's really cool. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, goosebumps. And then if an idea lands, like I want to share it. Teaching is one of the best ways to learn something, and I want to implement it, obviously. But yeah, that's some of how I approach it. I appreciate you asking.
I love it, man. Thank you for that.
Yeah, great question.
Oh,
Oh,
thank you.
Great question, Mike. And just for everybody out there, like the Philosopher's Notes part of the Heroic app, I've been able to consume so much more knowledge, but then having a filter of someone like Brian who distills, like he says, hunting for the best parts, the most valuable pieces, it's a way to, it's almost, it's been a game changer, truly, again, man. For me, you know, I love to have, you know, and let's be honest, sometimes there's too much consumption in terms of, you know, like if you don't implement things, you have to actually take it and implement it, which I know you talk about. But that's been so cool to be able to go through the Philosopher's Notes and consume a book, you know, deciphered by Brian, and really get the most important points that you can implement. Awesome question there, Mike. I like to hear that process too. All right, who's got another question? Wilson, I see you. Oh, Grant, let's go, Grant.
Hey, Brian, big fan for many years. Your work was really inspired me through some tough times in COVID, and I was turned on to you from Dr. Kristen Joyce, who's one of your coaches as well. And, you know, just really inspired by, you know, you becoming a public benefit corporation and, you know, and your work with, you know, Mackey and with Whole Foods, right? And about public benefit corporations. I've been preaching it for years and, you know, really not just why you chose that would be great, but also to inspire, I've been trying to inspire these guys to all use their business for a force for good as well. So really about how you kind of, your teaching applies into the business field and inspiring more leaders to leverage their companies for good as well.
Right on. Are you in Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Say hi to Kristen for me. I'm thrilled that you were able to connect through her and her important work in teaching these ideas. So Public Benefit Corporation, for those who don't know, we are a C Corp with one paragraph added to our corporate charter. And that paragraph basically holds me fiduciarily responsible for all of our stakeholders. Of course, I have a fiduciary responsibility to our investors as a CEO of a C Corp. But then we also have a responsibility to all of our stakeholders, which include, you know, our team, our employees, our partners, the environment, you know, society at large. And that's a paragraph in our charter that explicitly articulates that, which is what makes us in part a public benefit corporation. Then we do other work with B Corp to do that. But, you know, John Mackey and I met like 20 years ago. He was running Whole Foods. I was running a business before this, and we were going to partner with his nonprofit. And he had just debated Milton Friedman in Reason Magazine. And he's an ardent free market capitalist, ardent. And of course, Friedman's Friedman, you know. And he debates him and some other CEO in Reason Magazine. And Friedman's position is you have no responsibility other than to your investor stakeholder. To which John said, yeah, I get it. And I also feel committed to my other stakeholders as I described. And then he says, look, love is our secret weapon. We do the right thing. And companies who show up like that with explicit commitments outperform those who don't. This was 20 years ago, when the data already showed the truth in purpose-driven businesses outperforming those who don't have that clarity articulated throughout their organization. It's obvious when you think about it, but what John did was make it explicit. So the conscious, and I highly recommend the debate with Milton Friedman. Maybe somebody could find it. Milton Friedman, Mackey, Reason Magazine. It's phenomenal. I literally wept reading it 20 years ago. I'm reading it and I'm like, holy shit, finally, somebody's articulating how I can have ambition and really serve something bigger than myself and saying it in such a brilliant, intellectually sound way. So that's been my compass. We wound up connecting, hitting it off. He invested in my last business, nearly bought it, and has since been a friend and mentor. Conscious Capitalism, the book, is phenomenal. I recommend that. His movement is great. I used to go to his ranch, you know, before it was called Conscious Capitalism, one of the reasons we moved to Austin. But anyway, yeah, huge student of, fan of, and we're trying to build a business at scale that I think is run the way I think our heroes would do it behind me, you know, that living with and showing up and leading with wisdom and discipline and love and courage and these other cardinal virtues and showing that this wins. Again, long answer to your great question. Does that approximate, again, some of what you wanted me to riff on?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's Mackey's been a huge influence, Conscious Capitalism, all these, books. I was one of the early B Corps in Florida myself. And, we've been
Wow.
able to, scale 9 figures as a B Corp and trying to get, more businessmen in this group, involved in this movement. And, you leading by example in that is massive. So just immense gratitude for you, man.
Goosebumps, dude. That's so inspiring. And I get this, these are the companies that people want to work for, they want to do business with. I mean, who do you want to do business with? The ones that you can feel that they care for you and it's embedded into their cultural DNA, and in our cases, into our corporate DNA in the form of our charters. Super inspiring, dude. Look forward to joining in the nine figure club.
Yeah. And to that point, so and grants really helped me integrate the triple bottom line. And for everyone, the triple bottom line is people, planet, and profits. And that's really what the B Corp is all centered around: people, planet, and profits, doing good for all three. And I urge everyone out there to rethink your business so that you can become a B Corp and have that level of transparency. The Happy Hustle is working on becoming a B Corp right now, actually. And it really is the next wave of entrepreneurship, in my opinion. And Grant, you could speak to this. Actually, Brian, maybe just one more point, if you don't mind me hijacking in here, a question on top of the question. Do you see the future of business as B corporations, transparency, this green movement as something that is here to stay?
Oh, 100%. I mean, if you look at the data, it's unequivocal. Businesses run with these explicit values outperform those that are not. And again, you can have a spiritual, if you will, in quotes, or a philosophical stance on it, but practically speaking, concretely, this works. And again, it's not complicated. Like if you show up as a powerful leader thinking about something beyond just making money, you're going to outperform those that are not. And especially the next generation, they want to see a better world. They want to be part of organizations that have values aligned with theirs. Now, again, we got some fragile issues going on with that, the microaggressions and all the other things. But you better show that you care about something more than just making money. And again, that can't be a bumper sticker. It has to be operationalized in businesses like Grant, Whole Foods, Patagonia. I mean, the list is long of businesses you admire, you respect. And everyone here, you wouldn't be here unless you were aligned with these values. So this is just one more way to make the commitment explicit. I think this is the future. I hope this is the future of business. And it's why I work as hard as I do, why I tattooed my body with, the brand I've committed and the mission I've committed my life to. And we've got to win. We can't be a cute little business, we need to win at scale to show that there aren't trades. In fact, there are amplifications of all the things you want, all the fame, the wealth, the hotness you want. Perfect. Get more of it by living with virtue, running organizations with virtue, bringing out the best in your people. I mean, that's why I flew out to the Ike, right? The war that needs to be won isn't out there, it's in here. The suicide rate among our military families is horrific. We got to train them how to win this war. And again, you do that organizationally by creating a culture of excellence. And this is a really powerful way to literally put a stamp on it. Look at the brands you like. If you're shopping at Whole Foods, a lot more of them have the B Corp logo on them. It means something. It will mean more. Grant's been at this longer than I have. Well, I had a B Corp 10 years ago, so we were early on too. But yeah, what you're doing, Grant, what Kristen's doing, I mean, it's really important work, and that's awesome. You're going to be doing that, Carrie, and yeah, let's go.
Yeah, heck yeah. I urge everyone to just explore. Go to the B Corp website and just explore what it takes for you to, start that process of transparency and using the power of business as a force for good. Not that you aren't in some capacity now, but really amplifying it and then putting, a true mission behind the meaning of your everyday workflow. All right, next question. Let's dive in. This is awesome. Who's got a burning question they want to ask? Put your hand up, or yeah, just kind of dive in. I feel like
Got Mike part two if we need it, right? Let's
what'd you
go.
say?
We got Mike part two.
Oh yeah, Mike Zeller part two. Mike Zeller, you got a question? Let's go.
I'm curious, just can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
I'm curious, Brian, I've seen your stuff, haven't read your book yet. So it's in my Amazon cart now. So I was just trying to decide, do I want the Audible or do I want
Both.
the I don't know. Well, then that's the answer, I guess. Both is right. But I'm curious on the heroic side, like when you so I do a lot of deep work with entrepreneurs for healing entrepreneurial trauma and PTSD. And I use psychedelics, MDMA, which is an empathogen, technically not a psychedelic, and psilocybin. And I'm curious, where do you see, how often do you see trauma blocking people from their heroic selves? And then, like, as I'm reading, your seven or eight principles of being heroic, I'm curious, like, my theory, at least in this point of my work, is people cannot get to their heroic self if they have this dead weight of like unresolved trauma and energy. But what would you add to that, and where would you advise me to even just step into my heroic self to help entrepreneurs navigate some of the most difficult stuff in their life?
Yeah, great stuff. Important work. Appreciate you, admire you and what you're doing. And it's my coach is a guy named Phil Stutz, who's in the Netflix documentary with Jonah Hill called Stutz.
Whoa, whoa, real quick, I want to interrupt your programming to tell you about our new book, The Happy Hustle Version 2.0, 10 Alignments to Avoid Burnout and Achieve Blissful Balance. I'm telling you, this book is live and it is on fire. We actually recently just hit number 39 on the USA Today national best-selling book list. That means out of every single book that was put out, we outsold all of them except 38 of them. And it's because this book is really designed to help you put the happy in your hustle. And if you're maybe feeling like you're overwhelmed, anxious, stressed, sacrificing your soul for a paycheck, not really feeling fulfilled, this book is for you. It is a systematic way to help you harmonize ambition, yes, crushing it professionally, but also well-being. That means personally as well. So finding that blissful balance, will you? And we go over the soul mapping system and how you can actually implement it in your everyday reality. So if you want to get a copy, you can go to wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Walmart, you name it. Or you can go to thehappyhustle.com/book and pick up a copy there and then redeem your actual receipt for over $350 worth of bonuses. We're talking like legit bonuses that can help you put the happy in your hustle in an expedited fashion. So pick up the book if you want to check it out and see what all the hype's about. Regardless, thanks so much for listening and watching.
So he and I meet every week. We had our session earlier today. He went off, as he often does, on the three unavoidables of life: pain, uncertainty, and constant work. And we were talking about, he doesn't talk about, well, he talks about trauma. But we were talking about that, I think it's important to address, quote, trauma. And I have it, you have it, we all have it. But he and I come back to, he's a big fan of Rudolf Steiner. And he says, look, at the end of the day, you have two issues: fear and laziness. So most therapists want to keep on going to the cause of the cause of the cause of the cause. Let me get under it and figure out why you have the suffering, you have the trauma, to use that word in this context. And I'm not saying that's not important, because it is, but at the end of the day, I want to look at how you're living your life. And I want to see if you're showing up with the wisdom, the discipline, the love for yourself, and the courage that you need to activate your heroic potential. Because I don't think anyone's ever going to clear all the trauma from their lives. I just don't think that's possible. And we're going to need to learn how to live under, how to alchemize that, to recognize that as a part of life, And again, we've all got a spectrum of things that have affected us, but the next generation in particular, I think they've been told that life shouldn't be hard, that they shouldn't have hard experience or traumatic experiences. And I think that story is part of what leads to their fragility. Rule number one in everything that I do and everything that I've worked with Phil on is it's supposed to be hard. Your story, like Naval Special Warfare invited me out to talk to their top commanders about how to encounter and overcome obstacles, right? And I laughed about that and said, I learned what I learned from you. But to make it explicit, rule number one is it's supposed to be hard. Your story that it shouldn't be hard is arguably the greatest source of your current challenges, and then your failure to just own and integrate and kind of alchemize whatever's happened in the past, and then choose to take effective action today, I think is how we use it as fuel. And again, longer chat, nuanced chat. But at the end of the day, I focus less on trauma per se than I do on tell me who you are at your best. What do? What do you not do? The entire app is let me help you get clarity on that, create a checklist of the things you're going to do. And then what I find is when I eat, I move, I sleep, I breathe, I focus, I give my wife a kiss, I hug my kids, I show up, I do the things I'm afraid to do consistently. The intensity and frequency with which my little things come up and the gremlins shout is significantly reduced, and I can control the controllables, the things within my control, and deal with those things with a lot more grace. And frankly, they don't need to be dealt with quite as much when I'm sleeping well, I'm eating well, I'm moving well, and I'm using these other tools to kind of move forward, approaching life's challenges, et cetera. I said a lot. Tell me your thoughts.
Well, I agree with the parts on the it shouldn't be it's not going to be easy. Like if it's easy, you aren't growing because it's you're in your comfort zone and you're not facing resistance and fear and stretching into your discomfort zone. The piece that I and the work that I see with deep levels of trauma or complex PTSD, their nervous system will just shut down. Like I have two Iraqi veterans, they cannot walk into a restaurant with almost feeling like they're in a war zone. And so until they do a session with me and I get that clear, reset their nervous system, they can't even get to envisioning this higher self because if they walk into a bad environment. So I would agree with you,
To play
except for the
ping pong on
PTSD.
that, to play ping pong on that, you didn't remove the trauma. You gave them the tools to reset their nervous system. That's a different thing. And so I agree
It's
with that
integrated into
completely.
trauma.
But I agree with that completely. And so then when I did a talk for SOCOM, it was a first soft truth event on mental health. PTSD was the theme. And so their whole thing was move it left. You can't deal with people after they've experienced the trauma. You got to, you can, you'd be much wiser to teach them these ideas in basic training, right? But then the main thing that I would go to with someone in that situation is how's your sleep? I want to know what their nutrition looks like, what their movement patterns look like, what their sleep look like. Because if they aren't taking care of those things, shit, I'm going to walk into a restaurant, dude, and I'm going to have, I won't want to go to the restaurant. I'm going to want to end my life like I did 25 years ago because I had none of the basic fundamentals in practice. And I think with that nervous system reset, the way you do it, the way many people can do it, then we can have a conversation about the horrific traumas that your soldiers have faced, others of true significant trauma. Not, oh, I was traumatized by this and that, but no, I experienced the horrors of war, literally or figuratively. I hate to cut you off, but I wanted to celebrate that and say, yeah, fully aligned on that.
No,
I feel that.
awesome stuff. Great questions there. And one thing I would like to kind of tailor this to is more the entrepreneurship route. Does anyone have a question targeted more for business, and maybe activating our heroic potential as entrepreneurs? Maybe Justin or Brian or Ryan or any of you guys. Anyone got a question? Or Alex, even Derek, you guys got any questions like kind of entrepreneurial focused? I mean, he's bought and sold two companies as well as raised. I think you raised $10 million for the heroic company within 100 hours of launching. So you have this massive company that you're growing and that's really shifting the world. And there's a lot to be learned when it comes to software as a service as well that I'm always interested in. But anyone got a specific entrepreneurial question? Let's see.
Carrie, I'll
Oh,
ask.
yeah, Brian, go ahead.
Can
Brian,
you
ask
guys hear me
Brian.
okay?
Yeah.
Are they my dogs?
Dude, let's go. We got dogs. I love
You're
it.
good. Ask one, Brian. Go ahead.
This is why I need to stay at the office. So I own a warehouse. I actually own a couple companies, but I own a warehousing and logistics company. That's the we do a lot of pick, pack, and ship. And I've been in business for 21 years this June, and I just now have a team that I put together, which I trust and they trust me. And the trust is because I share all this information. So I'm delighted. It's probably not a good word to use. But I'm happy to hear that this is kind of where this conversation has gone. But as I go down that road, we have some pretty crazy growth goals. I'm not in the tech industry. I mean, I'm in a box with, forklifts and, all that kind of stuff. So I would just be curious, your thoughts on kind of approaching a business that's not tech, health related, but also one of the things that's been lingering while I'm listening to you, and Brian, I apologize. I don't know your work. I'm about to, because I'm going to read your book and, kind of go down that path, because it seems very, very interesting. But, I find as I follow all these people, a lot of things for me is like taking a drink out of a fire hose. There's so much information. There's so many books to read. There's so many apps. There's so much, it's like I could use three assistants to keep up with everything just to tell me what's going on some days. And I'm just curious how you approach, keeping all that stuff together, because I'm sure you're getting bombarded. All you guys are getting bombarded with all that information. It's like, what podcast do you pick to listen to? What, how do you keep yourself sane? And it's almost like vitamins. Take 100 different vitamins. Well, which ones are working? Which ones aren't working? Kind of thing. So I'm hoping there's a question.
Oh, did we lose him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think I got it. That was him, not me, right?
Yeah. All
Okay,
right.
cool. Usually it's
Did we miss?
me. We got
Oh, okay,
you.
yeah.
Starlink in the country is usually I'm the one that has the dogs barking and needs to apologize for the Wi-Fi. But for me, I always start with the individual. So I don't care what business you're in, you are your company's most valuable asset, your consciousness, full stop. So then there's the tactical question of what do I consume when? But just stepping back and really, really concretizing the truth of that statement, one of my mentors told me that forever ago. You are your company's most valuable asset. And then treat yourself like it. So eating, moving, sleeping, training like a world-class athlete, getting your energy to the highest possible states, and then showing up productively, then showing up connected, but leading yourself first and recognizing the importance of you and your consciousness, then doing the same for your core leadership team and for everyone in your organization, which is another facet of conscious leadership, another book by John Mackey you may enjoy. We care about our people. So when you show that you truly care about your people by sharing this wisdom, by embodying these truths, and by empowering them to be their best selves, that's how you're going to scale. I mean, especially your business, you're going to scale and you're going to need to scale operationally and your personnel. You're only going to be able to do that to the extent you can build a leadership team, and I'm stating obvious things, that are empowered and they need to be showing up at their energetic, productive, most connected, best selves. And the practical way that I distill it all is, I like to say a good life comes down to the big three, which you'll see in the book and in the app. Energy, work, and love. If you can get those three things right, you're 90% there. And then the way you get to your best self in energy, work, and love, in part, is to create a protocol, a checklist of things you do when you're at your best in your energy, your work, and your love. And that's how we architected the practice side of our app. It's basically like a virtuous habit tracker. It's not just a checklist of things. It's a, this is who I'm committed to being identity-wise. These are the virtues I want to embody today. And these specific things are what I'm going to do today, energy, work, and love-wise. This is how I run my life. And it's what I do every single morning. I'll see if I can connect my phone. If that shows up when I do that. There we go. No, you don't, Grant. Grant's got it set up. Let me see if my phone will actually connect. You see that? So Grant just held it up. He's using this part of our app. We've done scientific research on it. It works. But I've got a protocol, a checklist of things that I do when I'm at my best. This is how I make my prior best my new baseline. So General Fenton, who runs SOCOM, when I talked to his command team, he said, "Look, it's nice on a bumper sticker, but Brian has figured out how to take it off the bumper sticker. This is part of how I do it." So every day I recommit to being my best self in energy. I'm a disciplined SOF, Special Operations Forces athlete. I think of them That's how I want to show up. And I do certain things. And every day I come in and I do those things. And when I do it, I hit targets. Anyway, I do that energy. I do that work. And then I do that in my love, which is the most important. The little things that help me flourish in my relationships with my team and with my wife and kids, more importantly. And I hit those targets. Anyway, leading yourself first would be the shortest answer to that question. It's an obvious one. And then, you know, doing the same for everyone in your organization through your embodiment, through other tools. And then, you know, I don't know how to answer the question of what to consume. I don't consume anything. I don't listen to any podcasts. I don't use any other apps. I read books. I read books and I use our app. You know, like that's sure. That's how I've simplified it. I literally don't listen to anything. I don't do social media. I don't do any of that. I just read books. And then I try to practice the stuff that resonates to me as true.
Good deal. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Brian, awesome. tell them how long it's been since you watched TV.
Dude, I don't even know. I mean, I haven't had a TV in years, maybe. I think I told you, I started dreaming about these characters. I'm like, no, TV's gone. No way am I going to dream about some other pseudo heroes. You know, the way I frame it up is you got to make a choice. Do you want to be entertained or do you want to be actualized? That extra hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours of sleep for some people. Which side of the screen do you want to be on, you know?
Wow. Do you want to be entertained or do you want to be actualized? I hope everyone wrote that down. That is the writer downer, because we can all get caught in the consumption phase rather than the production phase. And I think if you want to be actualized, you have to make that intentional choice. Man, this has been phenomenal. I do want to just do a shameless plug for you, Brian. Like, we're your team. I know this wasn't even you, Brian, but anyone who does want to get the hookup on the app, his team gave us a discount code. Let me just put it in here. It's 20% off the premium membership. And then if you did want to do the, if you did want to do the, what is it? The 300-day heroic coach program, just explain that for anyone who is interested. I know Mike's been through there, but for what anyone who wants to kind of go through that and maybe even how that could help them in their business.
Dude, I'm curious to have Mike frame it up. So I'll do it real quick. It's a 300-day program that distills every single thing I've studied. Ancient wisdom, modern science, 300 days is a nod to the Spartan warriors. It's not, you know, get in, get out quick. It's we want to move you from theory to practice to mastery. It's basically the book, you know, over like 25 like deep lessons over the 7 objectives that truly help you fundamentally and permanently change your life. But I'd love to hear Mike. We've done research on it, scientific research. The woman who did it, Sonia Lyubomirsky, I've done 2 of her books. She said in 35 years of research, she has never seen results as significant as what we produce going through the program. She said that if she didn't do the research herself, she would have thought the data was fake. It was so positive. And it's just, it's ancient wisdom, frankly, common sense that we've figured out how to make practical. But Mike, I'd love to hear you frame up why you think it's been effective or would be effective for an entrepreneur. If you're open to that.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. It's to sum it up, it really is so strategically laid out where it really builds week by week. And they have a pretty strong cadence and pace where you can really design a masterpiece day. And it's really about opening up kind of what's possible, but also simplifying your life. And I love how they kind of take away certain things. And now we're working specifically on our PM bookends and how to really finish the day really strong. And then how do you build the architect, the AM bookend? Cause that's the parts of your day that you can control the most, you know? So it's been literally, it's just like, it's almost like Brian's whispering in my ear every freaking moment of the day. And I love it because he's like the ultimate coach, you know? For sure, but it's a life changer. If you guys have the opportunity to join, I'd highly recommend it. And Brandon, I did segue to a question, if you don't mind, if you have another minute. You're the first one to ever say is play is a virtue. And I'm on a mission to leverage the power of play for the greatest good of all. And I invented the sport that's we're going to have a military championship with the Air Force, Army, Marines, and Navy competing in Colorado Springs for the first ever aerosport championship this summer. And yes, I'm so pumped. I got news on Friday. It might be at the Air Force Academy. They gave us a verbal. Now we're just working on the logistics of getting a final approval. Wow. Yeah, next level, dude. I'm so freaking pumped. It's kind of like Ultimate Frisbee meets basketball. I'd love to send you a set if you ever want to test it
out. Oh, my God, dude. That's awesome. Jeez. And the commanding officer of one of the aircraft carriers that we've rolled out Heroic on, his son is like a world-class ultimate frisbee guy. So that's actually, I send it to me. I'd love to learn more and potentially to throw that his way too. No pun intended.
Yeah, for sure. I love it. But I love how you say play is a virtue. And as you know, as adults, we resist play. But yet it's like one of the secrets for us to really tap into creativity and connection and alignment. You know, I don't know if you have time to elaborate on play and kind of why it's important for us as adults to find that childlike play.
Yeah. And again, this, I'm going to go right back to Jonathan Haidt real quick. And this applies to every aspect of our lives, whether it's parenting, entrepreneurialism, et cetera. Jonathan Haidt says we move from a play-based childhood to a phone-based childhood. Mm. You know, we just rescued a puppy, you know, a couple months ago. And to watch him play with our other big dog, and they're just, I mean, they're training. Ultimately, we evolved to play because that's how you gain social intelligence and how to push, but not too hard, how to repair, like the importance of having that embodied interaction at an evolutionary level developmentally is insanely important. And again, that's another thing kids are missing: free play, not overly structured play or asynchronous online connections. You look at the almost like ubiquitous lack of emotionality and affect and ability to connect among the younger generation right now, and a lot of that is because they didn't have the free play in their childhood. But then as adults, and frankly, I need to get better at this. My life is this play or is this work? I don't know, dude. I'm having a lot of fun right now. Like, this is what I live for, you know?
Happy hustling.
Happy hustling, baby, you know? But bringing that, I mean, it's a close cousin to the most important virtue that scientists call zest, a love of life, a joy, an enthusiasm, an energy for life. So I think the more we can bring that into every aspect of our lives, and of course, with our hobbies or sports like you've invented, is critical. We have a note on a book called Play by one of the leading academics on the subject. You can find in the app. I'll actually go there real quick because then I can show people what the notes look like. This guy would be able to articulate it more intelligently than I would. If you click on search at the top, type in play, we should see a philosopher's note by Stuart Brown. So this is the book on play, at least tied for first: how it shapes the brain, opens the imagination, and invigorates the soul. I pulled out the big ideas, is what I call those sections that can change your life. And then I quote them and then I riff on it, et cetera. So anyway, that's a note on the subject that informed me in my kind of how important it is, you know?
So love good.
That. Yeah. Oh man. I mean, that's what it's all about. Having fun, you know, what's it all for if you're not having fun, right? That, I mean, zest, I know how you call it zest. We should all, you know, heed that wisdom. Play is a virtue.
One more thing on that. So I got Abraham Maslow on my wall. Where is he? He's up on the top. You can't see him, but the guy who came up with self-actualizing, et cetera, he says the self-actualizer reaches a point where the apparent dichotomy between work and play dissolves. There's no difference. You know, when you're living your life well, like every act is selfish and unselfish. It's work, it's play. They're let someone else decide which one you're doing at any given point, Michener said. But there's something about that ability to bring that fresh appreciation and simultaneous levity and gravity. I mean, we've talked about some heavy things and we've also talked about some inspiring things, but to be able to integrate that, I think, is what a good, noble life comes down to. And that's where eudaimonia, you know, a sense of true joy and meaning and purpose comes in when we have the courage to be our best selves and the discipline and all the other things.
Mm, I love that. And yeah, eudaimonia, what a powerful word. I urge everyone to, you know, get the book and go into that specific, text on eudaimonia, because that word can change everything. It really is about the highest human flourishing, like being our best selves. I do want to get to Alex's question and then give you an opportunity to just tie a bow on everything, Brian. Alex, do you want to ask your question, brother?
Yeah, so I just have a question for you. So so I do peak performance executive coaching, a lot around mental health and some other businesses. But the question I have is, you know, when we talk about doing our best, a lot of times we talk about like environments that are stable, that things are kind of going okay. But the idea of grit, where it's like being able to do your best at your worst, because a lot of times, like, you're going up for a speech or something, in your life goes haywire and you can't plan for these things. Like, how do you personally train for that type of best?
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's the only best that matters. Let's be clear. I mean, this is John Wooden's peak of his pyramid, competitive greatness. It's the love of the battle. It's being able to show up at your best, as your best, when it matters most. This is, again, what I'm talking to the Special Forces guys about, where failure isn't an option. So the way that I personally frame it up is, this is objective two in everything I do, forging anti-fragile confidence. Rule number one is, you have to know it's supposed to be hard, right? Nassim Taleb, when he coined the word anti-fragile, the metaphor he used was, and I use this in every one of my talks, the wind will extinguish the candle, but the same wind will fuel a fire. So the question I always ask is, which are you? Are you a candle or are you a fire? When life hits you hard, what happens? Do you break down and go off the rails and do all your vicious things you shouldn't be doing? Or in that moment, do you have the wisdom and the discipline to step back and go, oh, this is one of those moments, right? I'm getting hammered right now, or I'm under pressure and I'm going to go give a talk. You know, I'm walking into SOCOM, talking to 300 of the top special forces commanders in the world. Yeah, let's go. I'm feeling it. You know, this is what I trained for. What do? You got to have a protocol. And then again, the thing that changes, this is Phil Stutz. I got anti-fragile confidence from him. He calls it emotional stamina. He says there are three things that will never go away in the world: pain, uncertainty, and constant work. Everyone wants to be exonerated from those three things: pain, uncertainty, constant work. And he complimented me on my emotional stamina one day, in very early on, 7 years ago when we first started working together, told me I had a lot of it. I had no idea what that was. So I asked him, what's emotional stamina? He said, it's your ability to handle pain, uncertainty, and hard work. Follow on question, how do I get more of it? And this is what changed my life. He said, what you need to do is, the worse you feel, the more pressure you're under, the more committed you need to be to your protocol. Now, that presupposes you have a protocol, that you know who you are at your best. And then it presupposes your ability to, in that moment, work your protocol when you used to go off the rails. Mm. That's how you forge anti-fragile confidence. If, when the wind blows, when life hits you, instead of going and numbing yourself and binge eating, watching, drinking, whatever it is you do, yelling at your kids, etc., you say, oh shit, this is one of those moments where I need to triple down on my protocol. Today's the night I'm getting a great night of sleep. I'm polishing my nutrition at levels I've never done. I'm meditating. Dude, I got a letter from the SEC. You want to go entrepreneurial? I got a letter from the SEC a year after we made history as the first company to ever raise $5 million via the new crowdfunding regulations. 2 days before I launched my app that I spent $5, $6 million building, et cetera. 2 days before I got the launch party, I got this letter. Now, what did I do when that happened? I literally went from meditating an hour a day to 2 hours a day. I have never trained more precisely. I got the best aura sleep scores of my life because I'm working my protocol at the highest possible degree. Now, the old me would have, I couldn't crumble. Yeah, I got 3,000 investors, dude, from 75 countries. I got a launch I've got to do in 2 days. So in that moment, I knew exactly what I do when I'm at my best. I know my protocol, and I literally doubled down on it. At the end of that, we got through it in 8 months. It usually takes 24. The law firm that I spent $1,800 an hour to get us through hired me to keynote their partner talk to talk about anti-fragility and what I did to navigate the process. So anyway, the more life hits us, the more committed we need to be to our protocol, but that presupposes you did the work to understand who you are at your best. And then again, the thing that used to kill you makes you stronger. It's like going to the gym and you're lifting real weights, not styrofoam weights. And Mike, as intense as I was about PTSD, not fully appreciating the depth of the trauma you're dealing with, and more talking about people that are just frankly too fragile and not doing the hard work, this is it. This is how we build scaffolding against the catastrophic suicides that exist in the military, by teaching them these things. Eating, moving, sleeping, breathing, control the controllables when life is out of control, and then everything changes. And that's as close as you're going to get to being invincible as I can imagine. And I'm doing that all the time, literally all the time, because I'm always challenged. you know, I'm whatever. I don't need to bore you with any more details, but we're all always challenged. And those give us the opportunities to use it as fuel to get stronger. And then it becomes fun to go back to the other mic. It's a game. These aren't chores. Most people bitch about this stuff. And they're like, oh, you're giving me more chores to do? No, I'm giving you a better game to play. Games become fun because Mike comes up with rules. You know, soccer, the most popular game in the world, is insanely arbitrary in what you can and cannot do. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? These guys can touch it with their feet. That one guy on that team can touch it with their hands. When you give yourself rules to play by, life becomes a lot more fun. So the protocol is your set of rules that you use to win the game of life. Then you want strong competitors. You want hard things because that's when you grow. You get me fired up. Great, great question. Does that resonate?
Yeah, no, that was an absolute great answer. I really, really appreciate that.
Man, that was fuego. I love getting Brian fired up. When you give yourself rules to play by, life becomes a lot more fun. Gentlemen, that is powerful. I mean, if all of us just had that discipline and created rules that we lived by, I know I'm so much happier, per se, joyous in my everyday journey when I have my protocol dialed in. And I know the same is for you, Brian. And yeah, it's just powerful to hear.
Yeah, and then to go back to Alex real quick, Alex, when you're working with peak performers, like, we do work with the Toronto FC. I talked to the CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays this morning about what we can do with Heroic. Peak performers, I mean, this is what they do. It's how we operate. Obviously, it's what you do professionally, but it's exciting, you know, to concretize it, to make these obvious ideas explicit, and then to challenge them. And again, you being the embodiment of these ideas is the most important thing. John Mackey, to go back to entrepreneurial mentorship, that's what he pushes me on the most, is I have to be the fucking brand. I have to be the walking embodiment of what it means to be heroic. Otherwise, that's what he was at Whole Foods. You know, that's what he's doing with his new brand right now. So for us as leaders and as coaches, like, we need to be in integrity with these values and these ideas. Then it's the seventh objective. Great leaders have moral charisma. You can feel them. Neuroscience can measure how you are affected by people who live in integrity with their values. All of my heroes have the same quality. Gandhi called it soul force. Martin Luther King talked about it in his I Have a Dream speech. To me, that's my life's work, is to activate it in myself and to do everything I can to help you do it in your own idiosyncratic way. And that's how we affect the change we want to see in the people we lead, in our families, communities, and in my mind, ultimately in the world. Thank you for giving me the chance to go off on that a little bit more, Carrie, and awesome stuff, Alex.
Yeah, man, guys, this has been amazing. Brian, I do want to respect your time. I know we head to the top of the hour. If you could, you know, just tie a bow on everything we talked about and maybe just a call to action to everybody. I'll do one specifically, you know, for everyone watching the replay. We'll send out the links in our WhatsApp chat, you know, but I highly recommend at least getting the app. I mean, the app is so awesome. I literally use it every day, man. And it's powerful. So we'll put the link to that. If you feel called to go and explore the Heroic Coaching Program, I mean, I'm definitely going to do it. And, you know, I think we could go through it even. Maybe we can get a group of us to keep each other accountable. That'd be cool. Grant, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, just while you're tying a bow on it, you know, a lot of this group has, you know, power in their own unique ways, and how we can help you, Brian. You've impacted my life positively, just other ways. I got the app, the book, and following, you know, getting involved, but how can we support you and your business and get this curriculum out there to the world more?
Ah, dude, give me tears in my eyes. I appreciate that very much. You know, I'll tell you what, our business is the free premium coach is kind of our core. Heroic core is what I call that. But Heroic Enterprise is kind of our next thing. So we're starting to work with different corporations, and there's opportunities we can discuss for your organization if it makes sense to figure out how we can work together to implement this in the kind of cultural DNA. So to the extent that's interesting, that would be another facet. But, you know, I appreciate the question. The way I always answer it is, this is how we change the world. You know, if you fully activate your idiosyncratic heroic potential, that's why I do what I do, you know, and why I work as hard as I do and how you can help me the most, you know what I mean? So I'm sure there's a lot of other kind of tactical, practical ways. But the potential corporate stuff, to the extent anyone's interested in that, let me know. And then just that individual, you know, brothers unite, you know, this is how it's done. And I think we had a sister, we still have a sister here, you know, but like, let's go, you know,
that's my wife.
Oh, is that your wife? Let's go. Even better.
I said, you can sit in on this one. Cause she loves your work, but usually it's all guys.
That's so cool. Let's go, Steph. Yeah, but that's again, a long non-answer to your question, but I appreciate it. And excited to come together and figure out more ways we can play together.
Yeah, well, I definitely want to have you out in Montana at one of our Montana masterminds. And, you know, we're doing a collab with Ben Greenfield next month. You're welcome to come if you'd like. Cool. At his house, he's hosting all of the Happy Hustle Club guys, and we're doing a optimized live mastermind. So doors
are
open.
That's going to be intense. Ben Greenfield bringing everybody out. That's awesome.
I know you're friends with them. So yeah, you're welcome to come there. But man, I'm just so honored to have you, to know you, to support you, to embody this wisdom, man. Truly, you've changed my life. And I don't say that lightly with your work. And, you know, you really are an example of what you teach. And I think, you know, that is so important, guys, to live in integrity with arete, you know, becoming the best versions of ourselves. That's how this message populates, is by just being the example. Any final thoughts, Brian? Any you know calls to action or best ways to people to follow you, maybe, that we haven't mentioned? Anything you want to say just before we close the show?
Man, I thank you. I mean, that's what arises for me. I feel like we covered a really nice broad range of themes, and appreciate everyone who asked questions, and just appreciate you, man. All the work that you're doing to bring this community together and to be so lit up and so committed to helping people be their best selves, you know, it's inspiring to be here, and I'm just super grateful. So there's, you know, different practical things, but you covered it all. And I think we finished, actually, that moral charisma, that true activation of our best selves, frankly, I think was the perfect way to end. Perhaps if I'm going to go into the weeds, because I can't avoid it, think about the one thing that you know you could be doing, that if you started doing it and did it consistently would most change your life. And the number one thing you know you could stop doing, and that's the fastest way to change your life. It's not piling on new things. It's the kryptonite that you have, that we all have, on a spectrum of toxicity that needs to go. So what's the one thing that you know you could get rid of that if you did would most change your life? That do and don't, number one do and don't, is always the thing I come back to in my talks, that I come back to in my own life hundreds of times. Anytime I want to go next level, which is all the time, or I'm dealing with, you know, a little bit of overwhelm and kind of wobbliness, which is often, it's that. All right, what do I need to tie down? Start doing, stop doing, and go to next level. So I'll leave that as the real practical, you know, thing if you feel inspired to contemplate and dominate.
I love that. Mic drop. Brian Johnson, y'all. What's the kryptonite that needs to go in your life that would most change everything for you? That is powerful. And let's give Brian a round of applause. The happy hustlers out there, man, this has been amazing. Thank you, Brian. And if someone is interested in the enterprise, like rolling this out for their business, would the best way to just connect them with Jana?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Jana at heroic.us. Would love to learn more about you, your organization, and how we might be able to do some great work together.
Awesome. All right, guys. That's a period, not a comma. Heroic.us. Awesome. Thank you, Brian, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Sending y'all lots of love and light. God bless. We're out. Real quick, let's face it. Being an entrepreneur isn't for the faint of heart. You know, as a business owner, the key to your success is finding a healthy balance between investing time and energy into building your company while still finding happiness outside of work. Hence, the happy hustle in systematically harmonizing that ambition and well-being. But if you're drowning in the day-to-day administrative tasks and ready to build more balance into your schedule, well, Belay can help, because they've actually helped me tremendously. See, Belay has spent over a decade helping thousands of busy leaders like you and I delegate time-consuming tasks so that you can refocus your attention on what matters most and ultimately maximize productivity by intentionally matching you with exceptional US-based virtual assistants and accounting professionals. The last thing you need is to hustle yourself into a state of burnout. Trust me, I've been there. It sucks. So schedule a call today with Belay and get back to accomplishing what only you can do best. Learn more at belaysolutions.com/happy hustle. That's belaysolutions.com/happy hustle. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast. I truly am so grateful that you took the time out of your busy day to spend time with me. Now, if you got any value from this episode or any episodes in the past, it would mean the world to me if you could please leave a 5-star review and share this episode with your friends so we can continue to spread this message. Guys, as always, it's been a blast. Now go out there and happy hustle for your dream reality.